Sie hören Sport und Musik.
Das Spiel ist aus! Deutschland ist Weltmeister!
Mario Götze! Mario Götze!
Tonight, whether you call it football, football, or soccer, a German-American and a German in America dare to call it Fußball. German Fußball from an American point of view. Let's add some buns to that hamburger and join them for the Schnitzel Boys Deutschland Hour!
Yeah! Oh, that was a rusty opening. We took 1 week off, and the opening, I didn't even know how to start the show anymore.
You just put us live.
I just put us live.
As I was...
talk about your ignorance.
As I was saying how I don't know anything about the Holland game, but I now know the result. I used our open to Google the result.
Well, this is actually a good opportunity for us, Bjorn.
Okay.
Because we took a week off, and you were off the middle of nowhere. Talk about that. And now... I was a little shocked that you didn't Google the result, but now you can play the role of the fan from before the international break, because that's the knowledge you have.
Well, I did want... No, I watched the first game.
Right.
The France game I saw in its entirety, so I'm not completely ignorant. But the Holland game was... Yeah, I went into the mountains. I went on... I went on a backcountry ski tour from hut to hut in the Wapta Traverse in Alberta. So, Alberta, Canada. So, what that means is there's no reception of any kind. I had a satellite. I had like a little satellite device where I could send texts to my wife and whatnot. But
and you refused to ask your wife about.
I was pretty off the grid. I have used that device before on other trips. To find out soccer results, but in this case, I felt like this friendly wasn't quite up there. Also, I guess I left feeling pretty good after the France game. I thought things were going in the right direction.
Yeah, if Holland won 6-0, would you feel the same way?
No, I would not. That would definitely make an impact. Well, it was interesting, though, right? If we want to get into it, because I had sort of raised the question of the midfield math,
right?
And the answer was that Kroos is starting, and Robert Andrich was right. the defensive cover for all of that offensive glory. Although Toni Kroos was playing pretty deep, for a lot of it. Which he does, but Gundogan was pretty quiet for a lot of that game, even though he was in a more advanced kind of position. But Toni Kroos, obviously, we have to say, the return couldn't have gone any better. He got an assist.
Right? He got
an assist a couple seconds in.
Seemingly the missing piece. Yeah, so we are going to talk about, the title of this episode is The German Resurrection, right? Deutschland Resurrected. Now, why did I choose that title? Well, there's a holiday at play here called Easter. And the
team has risen from the dead.
The team has risen from the dead, much like Jesus Christ himself. So for a while, Germany's been poor. The last string of friendlies was a loss against Austria, a loss against Turkey. Mm-hmm. And Kai Havertz was a left wing back. And it's like, nah, none of those were the answers.
Which definitely, which I was in favor of that. I understood that idea.
But it's a little too wild. So then we have one last window before the Euros, before our big Euros, before Germany hosts it. The pressure's on Germany to do well. And Julian Nagelsmann was very sensible. He's like, I'm going to keep it simple. Our best performing teams are Stuttgart and Bayer Leverkusen, and their engine is a lot of these young Germans. Let's bring them involved. He called 6 new faces. Mittelstädt played the left wing back role this time, because that's what he plays in Stuttgart. Andrich from, is it Bayer Leverkusen or Leipzig?
Stuttgart? No, am I?
Anyway, Robert Andrich, whose German debut was at 29, who's a holding midfielder for his successful club, and this is pathetic, but we need to know what club he plays for.
Leverkusen. Yes,
Leverkusen, sorry. Right? It's Leverkusen. So, yeah. Play a big key of this. So he played the part with Toni Kroos from Real Madrid, and like you said in our last episode, Joshua Kimmich was announced as right back, which he's played many times before. He is right back. He doesn't want to be our six anymore, so he'll be the right back.
Well, it's the same in Bayern. In Bayern too, he plays right back for them.
Plays right back because he doesn't want to play six anymore. So our lineup was Mark.
I don't know if it's what he. I'm not sure it's what he wants, but that's what's happening.
Tough, and he has a job to do. It's good. Tough. He has a job to do. So we got Marc-André ter Stegen in goal, which I liked, by the way. And I'm getting that later. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Tah and Antonio Rudiger are back too. That hasn't changed. Mittelstädt left wing back. Kimmich, jeez, I need water. Excuse me. I ate a whole pack of peanuts before this broadcast started.
Ooh.
Which is a total mistake. Kimmich right back. Two holding midfielders. Andrich and Kroos out of retirement, and Kroos playing deep. Huge. Because it took a lot of the pressure off Gundogan, who mm-hmm. finally has a support he needs to be our number 10 up top, where our captains aren't bad.
Yeah.
And then playing with a young three of Kai Havertz, Jamal Musiala, and Florian Wirtz.
So this was the except for goalie, it looks like the two starting 11s were the same, yeah?
Good question. I'd have to Google that. France, I don't know if that's... The winning goal scorer against Holland was Füllkrug.
But he came off the bench
for that, yeah. I think. You're probably right.
So that's a pretty big indication then that this is the preferred 11. And I'm down with it. One question mark is Leroy Sané, who is injured and who may take one of those winger spots.
Manuel Neuer is the other question mark.
Manuel Neuer, the goalie, obviously is the question because that was actually rotated.
For a long time, I've been a proponent of Marc-André ter Stegen being given the number one spot. He's earned it. It's time. Manuel Neuer is 39. He gets injured a lot. I don't know. I need a drink in a second. Neuer isn't the same Manuel Neuer he was during the 2014 World Cup. Vamp, I'm going to go get water.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I think you can make that case. We have obviously a history, the German team has a history of having a lot of really good goalies, and we've had many people have entire successful careers and not get a lot of games for the national team. And Marc-André ter Stegen is one of those people. He has not played much. But maybe he'll get his chance. I mean, Neuer's been good, I think. I feel like. So I don't think he's the... I guess the only... I thought Mittelstädt was good in what I saw against France. A little bit looked a little bit, a little green. But I think he covered a lot of ground. So I like this lineup. I guess I would perhaps start Füllkrug at the 9 over Havertz, probably. Who didn't have a great... I don't think he looked particularly... kicker for the Holland game, kicker is giving him a 4.5, which is pretty bad. That's a bad grade. He has the worst grade of all the starters in this game. So, and I don't know, against France, he was also, didn't have... I think I would start Füllkrug. But other than that, I think this is a good lineup, and I think we have arrived somewhere where we can feel a little bit optimistic, maybe.
Yeah, and you know what the biggest... So these lineup changes were pretty basic and straightforward for the most part, and I like it. But the biggest change was the France game opened with the fastest goal in German soccer national team history.
Yeah.
And what that's indicative of is we saw them, and against Holland, too. I watched the Netherlands game. Against Holland, too, they dominated the first half. The beginning of the second half was dominated by Holland, but then we dominated the second of the second half. So it was a never-say-die spirit, and it's the pep in their step. That's the big difference. Because Germany, for the last, like, 5 years, has been playing with this malaise, right? It's like, they run around with the ball, they hold the ball, but they don't really know what to do with the ball. Like, you know, I've seen enough of that to last me a lifetime. These two games
the
was like...
Love. The yeah. Yogi Löw,
Hansi Flick,
an inheritance. Never saw a lateral pass he didn't like.
Right, and Hansi Flick kept that going, and then we saw that against Turkey and Austria the last round. It's like, what is going on with this German? It's a confidence issue.
Yeah,
and we saw Pep. They came out running, swinging,
playing. They are less than the sum of their parts. Yeah,
and this past round we saw them playing with some heart. They play with Pep in their step. Something happened. Julian Nagelsmann said the right speech. Maybe Toni Kroos was the right missing addition.
But when you're saying Deutschland resurrected, we have to caveat all of that. I mean, these are friendlies, you know. Right. I definitely felt in the France game, when I watched the France game, I definitely felt this vibe of the French players going like, why are you guys so amped up about this stupid game? Like, there was definitely a different level of intensity on the German side, for sure. But it's a friendly, so, you know, France has another gear, for sure. We'll see if we have another gear or not.
The media, the French, had a little bit of an inquest. The media was not friendly to the French. French had to explain themselves, you know.
I mean, they have a little bit like Germany did too for a while. They have no number nine. If like Giroud is not starting, I mean, Giroud is really
Griezmann?
Pretty long.
Antoine Griezmann?
Long in the tooth. I mean, Griezmann didn't play. I think he's hurt, but Griezmann was playing much deeper for them, at least in the World Cup. He was not a nine. And I don't know who their nine is. I think Giroud is long in the tooth. Thuram looked really toothless. And so,
I mean, they have Kylian Mbappe.
Obviously, they have Mbappe, and that's. But like, even a mediocre number nine should do some good for them. I don't know, but anyway, I think there's a little bit of a question. It's a friendly, you know. It's not like.
True.
We're now the favorites to win the Euro.
True, but this is also our only opportunity. Our next game is a Euro game. So this is
a friendly against Ukraine, right? They got some warm up.
So the warm up, but beforehand, don't count. Those don't count. It's just to keep warm and not.
Well,
be
these
injured.
These don't count either. But yeah.
Yes. However, like, you know, they needed something. They needed one last ditch chance.
Listen, I agree. I feel a lot better than I did previously. I thought I think the big takeaway is that this midfield thing really seemed to work, and that's been the weak spot where we had, you know, good names on the team, you know, on paper, a Kimmich, Goretzka, Gundogan midfield a couple of years ago seemed like pretty good, but it hasn't worked, and that's been the problem. And so now this seemed to really work well, and again, we'll have to see how Toni Kroos holds up in a full speed, you know, kind of situation. But I think Andrich did well in covering Gundogan in the advanced spot is perfect. And then the front line, yeah, I mean, we'll have to see if Sané fits in. It's all pretty narrow, you know. It's all a pretty narrow situation. There isn't really everybody wants to come inside. I mean, we had like four tens on the field, and none of them was playing the 10. So
we have a lot of wingers and only
so there's
one
a lot
nine.
Of there's a lot of yeah there's a it's gonna be clogged. Everything is gonna come clogging through the middle, and we'll have to see how that goes. But
well, mighty Scotland can now finally start to worry about who they're playing.
Mighty Scotland, somebody, my Scottish friend Kier sent me a clip of these two Hibs, the Hibs player against Rangers trying to get a quick restart after a foul call, and he hit the ball not off one but of two of his own players. The ball went off the head of his. I mean, it's like the funny. Have you seen this?
No.
It's a pretty funny, it's one of the funniest clip that I have, clips that I've seen recently. Anyway, we're feeling good about the national team.
Thumbs up. The André Gros seems to be the big solution to our problems. And it, like you said, it's cause for, it's friendlies, but it's cause for optimism. Yeah. I like it.
It could
be. Bjorn, should Marc-Andre Ter Stegen be the number one this summer?
I don't feel strongly. I'm good with either of them. I think it's they probably I don't have a strong opinion. I'm okay with Neuer. I mean, I'm sort of the last time I watched Neuer play a full game, I mean, he's been good. Not the last World Cup, the previous World Cup, he was not good. There was a time when I thought maybe his time was over, but I think now he's fine. But Ter Stegen would be good too. I don't have a strong preference.
What if they're both injured and Bernd Leno has to be the goalkeeper?
No, that I'm not down with that.
All right, cool. So that is, we have a couple other things to talk about before we get in the Bundesliga. Sebas and chat dying.
Sebas is all high on Mainz and wants to rag on Bochum. Yeah,
we'll talk about that in a second. But there are a couple of German national team stories. I don't know if you caught this, but the biggest story
was the numbers.
Well, that's today. That's a big story. The biggest story is the Germany getting rid of Adidas, saying goodbye to Adidas.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's big.
That's big. So those are the two things I want to talk about because they're kind of related because they're both kit stories.
There's not that much.
First, let's talk about the numbers first. Today I saw in the news that Germany is going to redesign its four. It's number four. Because the number four in their latest Adidas kits. Because
it looked very janky. Yeah.
Well, it looked like SS. The 4-4 looked like an SS.
Oh, is that the problem?
Yeah. It's Nazi font. It's Nazi font. And we live in Germany it has laws against anything Nazi related. It's illegal.
KISS, you can't put the flag up. KISS, right. The band, they had a problem with that. They had to change the S's in their number for the same reason.
Oh, that's fine. I mean, this isn't that type of podcast, but I have so much to say about that. And right now, Adidas apologized. They didn't realize it looked like the SS. What's the SS? Schutz? Schraff? I forgot what the SS was called. But the SS, the 4 and the 44 look like an SS, exactly the same font. They apologized. They're going to change the 4 or something for the summertime. There you go. Good for them.
Okay.
Good on them. Dude, I'm sure it was just a mistake. They didn't really. I guess the quality control.
I didn't even make that connection. I just thought that was it was weird looking. I didn't think. I don't even.
Why? Because
I mean, with the like
it's it a Nazi sort of, font. The story they're getting rid of it because it looks just like Nazi's font. Nazi had like a brand.
Yeah, but
font.
I don't really even. Well, they have the. Yeah, that was the Nazi thing. The S's were very And if you see the KISS, the original KISS logo, it is actually exactly like that. In this case, definitely. It's not as apparent to me that it's
here. Let me share here. For instance, let me share this. Let's do a little. Good for the podcast daily here.
We're gonna now show people SS logos. Yeah,
no, I'm not showing SS logos. I'm just saying this is the. So this is the current font. And then
I think it's just it doesn't look good. I think it's bad design, but I don't necessarily see the. I guess I can if you squint a little, you can see the.
Anyway, they're changing it. I'm curious what they're changing it to, but they're changing it to make it look less Nazi.
Let's go.
Other than that, though, by the way, the kits look good. By the way, I like
kits look
kits.
Very good. Yeah, I may buy the that like pink
the purple one.
Purple one, yeah, that one's nice too. Yeah, for sure. I do need a shirt for this Euro.
Thinking more of getting the white traditional one, but anyway, Adidas, who. Founded by Adolf Dassler, his cleat invention was a big reason we won the 1954 World Cup final in the rain. There is inherent, like the national team and Adidas go together like peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, this is the end of an era for sure.
Adidas, they have the three stripes, And I think Holland famously demanded two stripes, right? Isn't that the story? Because they needed two stripes on the thing.
Don't
anyway, know. Either or, Adidas and Germany.
We used to make jokes as kids about Adidas underwear, which has, you know, three brown stripes.
What are those called again? There's in America you call them something. Let's get in the chat.
What do you call them? Kind of like tire marks. Tire marks.
Kind, but I think it's something a little different. Skid marks. Three skid marks.
Yeah.
Black, red, and yellow. Marks.
In German, you would call it Adidas underwear.
Adidas underwear. If you have black, red, and yellow skid marks on your underwear, call a doctor.
Stripes.
Call a doctor. Well, anyway,
we're excited to see what Nike can do. I don't know.
DFB is broke, right? This has been an ongoing story, how broke the DFB is.
And Adidas, Nike offered twice, right, you said?
Nike offered $100 million a year. Adidas offered $50 million a year. And Adidas wouldn't budge. So the German national DFB is like, we're broke. So
we're broke.
We're signing with Nike.
50 million schmickies talks.
A year. Yeah, so... And then, you know, the German finance minister came out being like, this is absurd. Because Germans are very brand loyal. However, Bjorn, you probably side me with this. Adidas is abusing their brand loyalty to get a discount on their deal. Like, how much does loyalty cost?
If it's 50 million versus 100, then that's crazy.
If Adidas wants to be our kit supplier, then they should match Nike's offer. It's as simple as that. Or at least get close to it, right?
Yeah, or something.
But Nike won, so starting in 2027. Now Adidas makes better kits than Nike does, in my opinion. But we're very curious what Nike's gonna do in 2027. Let's see what those boys in Portland who made Air Jordan, let's see what they got for Germany.
At least it's not the skin tied Puma kits that like Adidas that Arsenal was wearing those were awkward. A lot of nipples. A lot of too many nipples.
Yeah, as long as there's Nike, no nipples. Okay, those are the rules.
I mean, a little nipple here and there is unavoidable, but like, not like skin, not like superhero outfits necessarily.
That's what Joel Schumacher did to the outfits in Batman Forever.
The other really big news, I guess this is now Bundesliga, no longer national team. The other big news is that Xabi Alonso is going to stay in Leverkusen.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. There's been a lot of speculation. I could have sworn he was about to go to a big club. But no, he made the sensible decision. He's going to spend another season in Leverkusen. And I think that's good news all around, right?
I couldn't agree more. I think he was, you know, obviously people were going to... He's the hottest commodity in Euro coaching currently, I would say. And... he was going to get his head turned not just by Bayern, but Liverpool potentially as well. I don't know if they...
And Real Madrid.
If they reached out, Real Madrid, and he has connections to all of these teams. So, anyway, great decision. I think that's fantastic. Speaks to his character, speaks to his deliberateness about... I mean, I'm always... the proponent of consider staying put. You don't always, it's not, the grass is not always greener. And so good for him. I'm in favor.
It's a smart decision because at Leverkusen, he can only go up. Next year, they got the Champions League. We'll see how they do there. And Seba S, we'll go through all your comments, but you did mention that Bayer Leverkusen is going to win the league. Absolutely. They're 13 points up. I mean, it's going to take an
absolute miracle. Bayern had a bad week. Did Xabi turn them down? Then they lost to Dortmund.
Let's be in Xabi's shoe for a second. Let's say he goes to Liverpool this summer. He has to fill the shoes of Klopp, super legend. He can only go down from there. That sounds like a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah,
same at Real Madrid.
They look like they have a chance to win the Jurgen Klopp will perhaps win the Premier League.
I hope so.
On his way out, which I mean, then they're gonna.
That has to
happen.
They're
probably gonna, build him a statue no matter what. But then they're gonna build him an even bigger statue.
Soccer is written by writers. If it was written properly, Liverpool and Jurgen Klopp are gonna win the league this year. He's gonna go out a champion. That's gonna happen. Let's hope. Arsenal might win. That's also a big story because they haven't won it forever. But I'm rooting for Liverpool. I'm on Liverpool because for our boy Jürgen, for Kloppo, for our boy Klopp. But then let's say that happens, then Xabi Alonso shows up. If he doesn't win the league title next year, he'll be considered a step down, right? So it's tough to fill those shoes. So it's smart for him to hang out by Leverkusen and still be a champion for another year, or whatever, not champion, but still be a rock star for another year. Heck, maybe get him a deep run in the Champions League, give him another season, let Liverpool implode on itself for a year.
Even if they go back-to-back, that'd be incredible.
Let Liverpool implode on itself so he can come as a savior as opposed to someone following your own clubs. You know what I mean? Because Xabi Alonso take himself out of the running for Liverpool. Now they're like, who's our next coach? And they're like, Roberto De Zerbi, I guess? There's no more front runners. Xabi Alonso was it. He was the chosen child.
Yeah.
But
it's also, you know, these things come and go. And as a young coach, you do need... you need experience. You can't just sort of keep chasing the next thing. So that's good. I'm down.
Respect.
Even more respect to Xabi Alonso.
Alonso's got three titles. He's got the league. He's got the cup. They're the only top flight team left in the cup. And he's got the Europa League. I would love for them to win a treble this year. And maybe next year win a treble with the Champions League. How about that?
I mean, that
How
is...
How about that?
Getting way ahead of all kinds of things. Yeah, I mean,
he'd be the super coach. Yeah, he'd be a super coach.
Yeah, he'll be the super coach. That's true.
But Bayer Leverkusen, Thomas Tuchel conceded that Bayer Leverkusen, obviously, because we'll be Champions League this year, Deutsche Meister. It's real, Bjorn. It's not a drill. Now it's not official yet, so I hate to.
I'm not gonna believe it until the math checks out. So we have the magic number. The magic number is 8, I believe. 9, actually.
Yeah.
Seven games. So Bayer Leverkusen needs 9 more points. I mean, combination of them getting 9 and Bayern dropping. Because Bayern has 60, so 7 games left. So that's they can get to 81. So they need to get to 82. So yeah, that's
right.
Going to happen.
We will reserve our curse till later. So I will not continue saying what else.
I don't believe it until it happens. But it's going to happen. You're right. It is going to happen. Now
Bayern München played Dortmund over the weekend, and typical Dortmund style, it's finally the first one they've ever won, the one that meant almost nothing. Everyone's like, der Klassiker. I'm like, who cares? Bayern's hanging out in second, Dortmund's hanging out in fourth.
It's meaning a lot to Dortmund, because they are fighting for that last Champions League spot against Leipzig. And that's, I would have thought before this season, I would have said Dortmund and Leipzig are both Champions League teams, but one of them will not be, most likely, unless Stuttgart really chokes, but they don't look like they will.
Let's hope not. Most of those guys are our national team guys now.
And none of these teams, this is another, you know, like these tables, you look at these tables and you only look at the position most of the time, but it's always very different from year to year. Like Bayern and Stuttgart are averaging more than 2 points a game, which is not bad. Even Dortmund is close to that average. And so there's a bunch of pretty good teams on top. It's just Leverkusen have dropped 8 points all season. They haven't lost a game. So it's like they've just been dominant. They got a little lucky this weekend. They had to come back from a halftime deficit. But and then on the other hand, relegation. Yes, Bayer Leverkusen had a hard time.
If you want to watch that game, watch the last 5 minutes. It's the best. It's amazing. They scored. It was 1-0, and they tied, and then got a winner in stoppage time in the last 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Bayer Leverkusen, and they've done that more than once this year. They are never say die. They're still the Invincibles, and they still haven't lost a match. Like David Ruscio said, they've got. Are they against Kaiserslautern in the cup? Let's take a look at the DFB Cup real quick to see who they got. Or is it Saarbrücken, the other little Cinderella team? No, Saarbrücken got Kaiserslautern and Fortuna Düsseldorf have Leverkusen. Both games. Saarbrücken, Kaiserslautern tomorrow, Leverkusen, Düsseldorf on Wednesday. David Riccio in for Kaiserslautern. I love K-Town. Let's go.
That would also be that those they'd be ready. They'd be ready to party. What I was going to say is on the relegation side of things, we have the opposite. Like my team hasn't won a game since we beat Bayern, but we're still 6 points ahead of the relegation zone because everybody else is just so terrible. We lost a point. We gave up, as Sebas S is pointing out correctly in the chat. We had a 2-goal lead right. against Darmstadt, last place right. Darmstadt. And I thought, well, this obviously is going to be 3 points easy in the bag. I didn't watch. I was shuttling.
I watched the game. I watched parts of the game. And because this is at home against Darmstadt, you need 3 points. This is the one game you get 3 points from, right? And you're up 2-0. I'm like, well, there you go. And then I skip a little towards the end, and it's 2-1. And I was like, uh-oh. And then it was 2-2. And I'm like, well, you're going to get a winner? No winner. Ended 2-2 at home. That's disappointing, right?
And again, it's again 2 points dropped in stoppage time. We would already, I mean, I haven't redone the math, but we were, at some point, we were, if there
if
was
stoppage,
no stoppage
time didn't exist,
if stoppage time didn't exist, we would be in Europe. And I think that's probably no longer quite true, but actually, I think, yeah, we'd have like 36, 37 points. So,
well, Saba has a bone to pick with me against the Lions. Here we go. What do you mean when you said 4 weeks ago after 8-1 against Bayern, you said Mainz will get relegated? Maybe times will change. Barrero missed a tap-in last night. They played defensively. But apparently they had a really good game against Leipzig over the weekend. And Leipzig is secretly having a pretty blessed season, right? Under Marco Rose and what they
are. They do look like world beaters sometimes. If you catch that Leipzig team on a good day, they look like the best team in Europe. But then they have not the results have not been there. I mean, again,
but mine's got
also
a point,
not
right?
terrible. 50 points in 27 games. Again, it's not terrible.
But Mainz isn't. Yeah, they got a point. A scoreless a draw on Saturday. But Mainz isn't looking at Bochum, say. But Mainz is looking at Köln. You guys are fighting over the relegation playoff spot right now. And I believe you guys are, what, 1 point off each other?
Yeah.
Köln did lose over the weekend.
Mainz has 20. Köln has 19. Köln got a point in Augsburg.
Oh, that's
and
a
Stuttgart,
big point.
Stuttgart dropped points against Heidenheim. So there was a lot of weird. There was a lot of weird ties this weekend.
Yeah, Mainz at 20. Köln at 19. You know, Bochum, despite dropping points, there's still a 6-point gap. Still a 2-game gap there.
But that's only because everybody else is so terrible. We are also bad. Everybody else is just worse.
I mean, you haven't even cracked 30
Sebas is saying I won 15th, not 16th. I mean, we're trying our best. We're trying our best to make it happen for you.
Well, when is the Mainz-Bochum game, right? Is that coming up?
Is it coming up? Didn't
Bochum is playing. Bochum is playing Köln next week. That's
yeah,
big.
Away at Köln. We played Mainz. We lost to Mainz.
Oh, you already did the Mainz game.
That already happened. Yeah,
but Mainz
was, already.
Köln.
I already took my licks from Sebas. We lost to Gladbach, Leipzig, Freiburg, Mainz since beating Bayern.
April 28th, Mainz Köln. That's a big one. Mainz Köln. April 28th. It's 2 weeks off the last week or whatever. It's there's only 3 rounds after that, and that's a big game for you guys. That's a 6-pointer for both Mainz and Köln.
We need this. We need to win this road game in Köln.
Are you going to?
I mean, no.
Hans Wolf, are they going to?
I mean, on the flip side, you know, it's like we need to. The flip side is what against who is Köln supposed to win a home game if not against us?
Exactly.
Bochum is the fastest horse in the glue factory. Well put. Well put. Well put. If it wasn't for stoppage time, we could run the Kentucky Derby. But
King losers. King losers. Well, there you go. Bochum, it's the three teams are like falling down the stairs. And the one team that stays on the steps.
Yeah, it's the one eye, you know, the among the blind, the one eyed is king.
That's right, that's right. But that is the most exciting part of the table because up top it's relatively like settled.
Settled except for that final Champions League spot. Yeah.
I mean like Dortmund and Leipzig are 3 points apart, but then after that Frankfurt's 9 points. So it's really just Dortmund and Leipzig fighting over fourth. That's what we're looking at up here. Stuttgart are gonna get Champions League, hopefully if they keep it up, good for them. And it's a godsend that a young group of Germans on Leverkusen and Stuttgart showed up this year just in time for the Euros to change up our national team. So it's a lot of ways it's exciting times in Germany. You know, it's the first non-Meister, maybe. And then the second division is the return of the North. São Paulo might be running away with Bundesliga. It's fine.
They really, that's becoming increasingly real, isn't it?
Yeah, that's definitely becoming. I think they're, where are they at? They're up by a few points now. They're up by five points.
They have 11 points. I mean,
what are you looking at?
They have 57? 5 points over second, but that doesn't matter. They're 11 points over third. So
I think São Paulo is going to be a Bundesliga club next year.
So they're hold on. What is the...
And Holstein Kiel, which is hilarious.
So their magic number is 11. Yeah, they need 11 more points or Dusseldorf to drop.
And then Hamburg and Dusseldorf and maybe Hannover are fighting over that relegation playoff spot against
against Mainz, probably Mainz
or a Cologne. Or a Bocha, maybe.
Ugh,
so,
no.
Well, maybe. I'm saying maybe. You never know. Promotion relegation, baby. But I, for one, would love some northern clubs to get back in there. Hamburg and Kiel coming in there with a swing. I love it. With all the rainstorms up in Kiel in that shipping container of a stadium they play in. Let's do it. Bring it up. Bring it up, baby.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, I don't think nobody's excited about Kiel. I think St. Pauli will be fun. I don't know if anyone wants Kiel to.
I want to Kiel come to in. Kiel knocked out by München, remember, of the Pokal last year, the way Saarbrücken and this year. Speaking of Pokal, let's do some predictions. We've got. It's also a really exciting Pokal because the little clubs are also really doing
little
it.
Little clubs are in, yeah. And so, that's actually happened this week, yes.
Yeah, the tomorrow and afternoon. So tomorrow it's Saarbrücken against Kaiserslautern. Now, Saarbrücken is the third division club. Dusseldorf and, I believe, Kaiserslautern are in the second, right? Isn't Kaiserslautern second division, or are they still third division?
Yes.
No. But I'll tell you, Saarbrücken has had quite the season. They knocked out Bayern München. Then later they knocked out, was it Werder Bremen? They knocked out another top-flight club to make their way to the semis here. They knocked out Borussia Mönchengladbach. That's who they knocked out. Leverkusen knocking out Stuttgart. That was a game for the ages. Dusseldorf knocking out St. Pauli and Kaiserslautern getting one over here to Berlin. So Leverkusen and Dusseldorf, you got to give this one to Leverkusen, right? On Wednesday, you just got
to. Well, not according to Florian Kastenmeier, the goalie of keeper of Fortuna Dusseldorf. He said they got to lose sometime. Why not against us?
I love the spirit. That's the spirit. And then tomorrow it's Saarbrücken hosting Kaiserslautern. I'm sorry, David Riccio. I'm going to have to give this one to Saarbrücken.
No.
They just have no chance. What do you mean no chance?
No chance.
Why no chance?
Kaiserslautern all the way.
Now, respect to Kaiserslautern. K-Town has more American expats in there than any
other.
These
are sort of all, it's fun because they're all kind of local to each other. The Dusseldorf, Leverkusen, and the, I think Dusseldorf is definitely closer to Leverkusen than Saarbrücken is to Kaiserslautern, but let's not by much.
Yeah, because they're down there not too far from the French border, right? It's a 47-minute drive between Kaiserslautern and Saarbrücken.
Oh, so they may actually be closer. Leverkusen, yep. Dusseldorf is probably about the same.
So it should be a good crowd. I'm excited.
So there's some... Oh, 25? Only 25 minutes. Yeah, that's very close. So... Yeah, this is some derby. This is some derby action.
Derby. David Riccio with some news, some for us to Google. I think of his, but Dusseldorf giving away free tickets to their giant stadium. Dusseldorf have been having a great season. They play in a huge stadium. And when I was in Germany in October, it was all Dusseldorf. They were all over the TV. They were winning big games. They were crushing it. And as we saw, they are fighting for a promotion spot. They themselves are having a good year, so you're right. But they are not to be unterschätzt.
It's where my brother lives. My brother lives in Dusseldorf. My other brother, not the one that you stayed with.
It's a pretty, isn't it? It's like the fashion capital of the world. Excuse me, not the world. Of Germany, right? It's a very pretty little town.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, there's a lot of beer. There's the Altstadt, the old town where there's a lot of drinking going on.
I think I remember visiting Dusseldorf as a kid and really liked it.
No, it's very nice. I mean, I grew up 20 minutes from there. My town is very close to that.
Well, isn't that the thing in the Rhine? Isn't like Dusseldorf versus like a Bochum or a Dortmund? It's like Dortmund's like the steel mill town, and Dusseldorf is where they're more into buying the fancier cars and wearing the nicer jackets.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Dusseldorf is way fancier. It's not part of the Ruhrgebiet. Dusseldorf is not.
Oh, sorry, I got the wrong one. Will Hamburg get promoted to stay in Bundesliga 2? They fired their coach. They replaced him with Steffen Baumgart a couple weeks ago, specifically to thwart what they do. For six seasons in a row, Hamburg has been like in a promotion spot, and then towards the end of the season, they just lose the spot and they filter their way down, and they keep missing promotion. And HSV is a huge club. They're a Traditionsverein. They should be a top flight club. But they just can't get their act together.
I'm going to say no. They will not get promoted.
Yeah, it's not looking good.
Well, I mean, I think the second place it's going to be hard to reach because Kiel has a bunch of points ahead of them. And the relegation playoff usually just does not work out for the second division team.
Correct, correct. So for Hamburg to even get in that spot just means they're going to maybe have to duke it out with Mainz. And despite Mainz struggling this season, they're still a much higher quality squad.
I mean, but maybe not, though. Those teams are pretty, like I said earlier, and just from a points perspective, those teams are the worst. That relegation playoff team in the first, from the Bundesliga, is going to be the worst one points-wise probably in a few years. So maybe.
Yeah.
But I would, if I had to put money on it, I'm not betting money on Hamburg going up.
Yeah, it shames me to say that is the case. However, a Hamburg team will go up.
St. Pauli.
Team is FC St. Pauli, little St. Pauli boys. Good for them, good for them. Okay, did we do Germany? Did we do the German thingy thing?
I think we did, yeah.
All right, I think it's time for us to bid you farewell, say goodnight, unless you want to talk to us about USA being kings of CONCACAF, MLS, Emil Forsberg. Did he leave his family behind and not tell them?
Emil Forsberg, wow.
Did you see that
gossip
story?
We have some gossip. Yeah, some I saw gossip. That story.
That's some gossip.
And we got a point against the mighty Inter Miami. Look
without
at that.
Messi, right? Suarez got a goal, but no Messi.
That's a mess.
The refs are back! So much to talk
Suarez,
about.
Suarez, that was a foul. That was a foul, by the way. The refs are back, and the one that we got was worse than the Scabs.
Seba S believes Mainz can get 15th spot. Keep believing, brother. I believe in you. We'll see it. Barrero the hero,
I wish I could argue with that.
We'll see. All right.
Confidently.
Tschüss. Bis gleich oder bis nächste Woche. Tschüss.
Tschüss. Macht's gut.